Welcome to the deep dive. Today, you've brought us a truly fascinating and, let's be honest, sometimes chaotic collection of source material. We're doing a deep dive straight into the heart of an online image board thread. It's from what's known as HSG Homestuck General.
Yeah, and the title alone, Writing High Edition, 32 grade, kind of hints at how long this conversation's been going.
Right. Suggest this is like the 30-second thread or something. A lot of history there.
So yeah, our job today is basically to wade through this, well, raw, unfiltered stream of conversation.
And it really spans everything, doesn't it? Internet memes, fan theories.
All the way to some deeply controversial social commentary, and we'll try to pull out the most important bits, the key insights for you.
What's really wild is that the source material itself actually comments on what we're doing right now, summarizing online content.
Exactly. Users explicitly mention deep dive podcast, Lopcast. It's repeated, almost like self-aware commentary.
So yeah, as we explore these different viewpoints, and some of it is, well, challenging content, just remember.
Our goal here is simply to show you what's being discussed in the source material itself, help you understand the context, the implications.
We're absolutely not endorsing any specific viewpoint here, just reporting.
Precisely.
Okay, so let's jump right into the slopcast thing then. That term just pops up again and again in the thread.
That's
People
good.
talking about slopcasts and slop seminars. What exactly are they getting at?
Well, from the context, it really seems like slopcasts and slop seminars are their words for summaries or
Gotcha.
analyses of huge chunks of
Like
content.
maybe automatically generated
Yeah.
or done with like minimal effort.
That seems to be the implication, yeah. It's a way for them to quickly digest what they call a huge haul of information. That phrase pops up too.
But what's genuinely interesting, is how contradictory they are about it.
How so?
Well, on one hand, you've got someone saying, "I'm so excited to do the slopcast for this huge haul," and another person is all hyped for the slopstravaganza of the century.
Okay, so excitement there.
But then, like, almost in the same breath, you see people complaining, being incredibly bored or disappointed because a slop seminar is only 13 or 14 minutes long.
Right. So they want it, but they also have standards, or at least expectations about length.
Yeah. It's this weird push and pull. They want the summaries, but they still seem to care about, I guess, the quality or the depth.
That really captures a kind of tension, doesn't it? This contradiction between wanting instant, maybe automated summaries, and also wanting, well, high quality, maybe human-made content.
It feels very digital age.
It absolutely does. It's like we're all struggling with this fire hose of information versus needing something curated, something authentic and engaging.
And like you mentioned, the self-awareness is striking, that user repeating deep dive podcast, slopcast, over and over.
Yeah, it's like they're acknowledging the very nature of what they're doing, what they're consuming. Even as we're doing it right now, it's very meta.
And this connects directly to the bigger chat happening in the thread about AI, artificial intelligence.
Right.
Some users actually say AI is really good at classbacks. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, those are pretty complex character types from the Homestuck comic.
Very specific Homestuck lore, yeah.
And they also say AI is good at classifying the three types of OJ Nansiforce strips, which is, I mean, super obscure. Another Homestuck side comic thing.
So they see AI being surprisingly good at certain kinds of, let's say, niche content analysis or
Yeah,
even generation.
exactly. But there's pushback too, right?
Oh, definitely. You also see users describing AI showing, quote, brain damage and stupidity. So clearly they see its limits, big time.
And there was that funny bit about AI refusing to do something specific,
Yeah, like refusing to include the word diaper in a prompt somebody gave it.
which suggests, these built-in ethical filters or restrictions that the users actually find kind of annoying.
And then you have some users calling AI output megegens, which I guess is their term for just like corrupted nonsense.
Seems like it. And they say they want personnel models to come back.
Which sounds like a clear preference for human-created stuff over the machine-generated slop, as they call it.
They want the real deal, not the automated summary.
Exactly. It's that classic conflict, isn't it? Efficiency versus maybe perceived authenticity, played out right there on this image board.
Okay, moving on from AI and slopcasts, there's this other thing running through the thread. Maybe it's an inside joke. The phrase Rose LaLonde.
Yeah, yes. Rose the long.
It just keeps appearing, sometimes exactly like that, sometimes slightly different. What's the deal with that?
Well, Rose LaLonde is a pretty central character from Homestuck. And that phrase, yeah, it seems to function almost like a running gag or maybe like a game of spotting her, you know. For people in that subculture.
It suggests she's kind of everywhere in their minds.
Sort of culturally omnipresent for them, yeah. It's an inside joke that's clearly taken on a life of its own within that community.
And we see her pop up in really different ways too. Like someone mentions a Jewish Rosalon, someone else, a Thunder Thigh Rose.
Right. It shows how much they've like interpreted and adapted the character. She's really embedded in their collective thinking.
There's one comment that really stood out to me. Someone observed that Rose is, quote, trying to start a new life, away from Homestuck, but she can't help but be spotted everywhere she goes.
That's quite poignant, actually. It's not just nostalgia, is it? It sort of highlights how these shared online stories can create this collective memory for a group.
Blurring the lines between the fiction and like their own experiences.
Exactly. It
Ronnie.
gives the character this unique cultural weight, way beyond just the original comic.
And there's that really specific, almost wistful anecdote someone shared.
Oh, the one about seeing the rose I saw leaving in Aubonne, Paine 12 years ago.
That's the one. It
Yeah.
just perfectly shows how this fictional character has sort of bled into real-world memories for these people.
It really speaks to the power of these shared online fandoms, doesn't it? Where fictional characters can feel incredibly real.
Definitely. Okay, now let's unpack one of the really intense debates we found in the sources. It's all about Cascade.
Ooh, Cascade. Yes. A big moment in Homestuck.
For anyone maybe less familiar, Cascade was this huge, pivotal animated sequence in the webcomic, big plot implications, and clearly it divides these fans a
Oh,
lot.
absolutely. You see two completely opposite takes, starkly different.
On one side,
You've got users calling Cascade semi-effing epic, saying it was the absolute high point of the whole comic. Really strong, positive feelings. They genuinely seem to think it was like a masterpiece.
okay, so the peak, but then.
Then you have the critics, and they are just as strong. They call Cascade a massive waste of time and effort, a dumb contrivance.
Wow.
And some even say it probably directly contributed to the rest of the comic sucking so much harder.
Oof. So that really shows a deep split in the fan base, doesn't it? Like a major disagreement over this one event.
It really does. And it makes you wonder, why such passionate disagreement? Is it just about that one animation?
Some users actually argue the comic was doomed well before Cascade.
Right. Suggesting maybe the decline, if there was one, started earlier, that maybe it was inherent in how it was made or something.
And tied into this, we see mentions of fan projects trying to like fix Homestuck, something called Gimpa.
Yeah, fan efforts to rewrite or continue it. But the source material itself acknowledges how hard that is.
Like maintaining consistency.
Exactly. Especially with multiple writers swapping in and out and no one planning very far ahead, it shows the community is actually pretty aware of the challenges in making something like Homestuck.
So we've seen the creative side, the nostalgic side, the analytical side of this community. But now we kind of have to address a more difficult aspect, a more, frankly, disturbing part of the source material.
Yes. Like a lot of unfiltered online spaces, this thread contains some deeply raw and often offensive stuff.
And again, we need to be crystal clear. We're reporting this purely for informational purposes, to show you what's in the source. We do not endorse any of it.
Absolutely crucial to state that. For example, there's a quite detailed argument presented about Rhodesian independence.
Right. The source claims that Rhodesia predicted that mass democracy in former colonies would lead to destruction and chaos.
And it claims those predictions were entirely right, citing places like Congo, Zanzibar, Zambia, and Zimbabwe under Mugabe as examples.
The text goes on to assert, quote, "The Rhodesians were 100% right and the world destroyed them anyway." It also claims Western enemies backed communist rebels who targeted women and children in awful terror attacks.
And let us reiterate, again, this is the viewpoint presented in the source material. It is not endorsed by us or this deep dive. Our job is just to report what we found.
Got it. And beyond specific politics, there's even confusion within the forum about its own identity, isn't there?
There is. One user describes it as a place free of association, identity, politics, and culture wars.
But then someone else directly contradicts that.
Right. Saying it is a place of free association, identity, politics, and culture wars. So even they can't agree on what the space is supposed to be. It highlights that internal conflict.
And unfortunately, in this kind of unfiltered space, you also find some really hateful stuff. Explicitly hateful.
Yes. The sources contain inflammatory terms, things like lolicon, groon or be groomed, femoid facepalm. There are discussions around concepts like rape food and filters being deliberately removed for certain
It
terms.
shows a conscious decision, it seems, not to censor certain kinds of extreme content.
And we also have to address the explicit anti-Semitic statements that were present in the source material.
Yes, including things like, quote, Jews are the grave diggers of humanity.
And a specific critique about, quote, progressive Jews of conscience ritually scapegoat Western settler colonialism for Rothschild Jewish colonies in Palestine.
There's also talk about figures like Mike Enoch and groups like TRS, which are linked to, well, white nationalist and alt-right movements.
With one user calling Enoch a grifter, whose, quote, fasci goy persona was given by bosses in old Gino, which seems to be a reference to Russian troll farms or influence operations.
And one last time, just to be absolutely clear, we are reporting what is directly stated in the source material. These views are abhorrent and do not reflect our opinions or beliefs in any way.
Correct. It's vital context for understanding the full picture of the discourse in that space.
And there are other things too, right? Other critical comments.
Yeah, a whole range. Criticizing McDonald's for targeting Zillennials, using the term code monkeys for programmers.
And that very charged statement about the northern white rhino going extinct because of, quote, Chinese poachers using horn for penis powder. The commentary, even the offensive stuff, is, well, it's broad.
It really is.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit. Back to a more specific and creative part of the thread. We saw some new gaming talk, right? Fan projects.
Yes, definitely. There was this really detailed idea for a fan-made Pokemon hack,
Yep.
but one that brings in mechanics from Shin Megami Tensei, you know, Megaten, specifically the fusion mechanics.
Wow, that's a crossover. Did they have specific ideas?
Oh, yeah, very specific.
Yeah.
Like creating an ice dark black frost Pokemon and giving it an ability called Black Ice that would make it immune to fire and fighting moves,
Huh.
or suggesting abilities like Fur Coat for King Frost. It's like a really detailed, passionate fan concept, blending mechanics from two different series.
That's pretty cool, actually. And there was debate about another game, too,
Yeah,
Alpha.
the indie game FF, users were arguing about whether the remake is not good and how the original holds up compared to other games like it.
So real deep dives into these sort of cult favorite games shows how much players get invested.
Totally. And there was even this idea floating around to create an HSG's recommended games wiki
Okay, what would that be for?
to highlight, quote, small, cute games that couldn't possibly make it on a top 10 list, but are still a really good time.
Ah, so like a counter to mainstream reviews,
Yeah.
focusing on hidden gems.
Exactly. A shared sense of discovery for niche stuff.
And finally, there was some Baldur's Gate 3 chat as well.
Right. People sharing their character builds, like a half-elf wizard with maximum FMU F-fade up tattoos and vitiligo. And talking about companion preferences, someone wishing Viconia was a companion instead of Minsk, and also some critique of what they called Western woke writing in the game.
So a real mix of gameplay specifics and broader cultural critique even
Yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So after all that, what does it all mean? I mean, this deep dive has definitely taken us on a ride through a very unique and, yeah, often challenging corner of the internet.
It really has. We've seen this community kind of wrestling with its own identity, dealing with nostalgia for this webcomic.
And using incredibly unfiltered language to talk about, well, everything from AI content right through to global politics.
And what's really striking, I think, is how self-aware they can be, even commenting on the very idea of summarizing content on the deep dive itself.
Which brings us to a question for you, the listener. In this age where we're just drowning in information and it's all getting so personalized, how do we tell the difference?
Yeah, how do you distinguish between genuine insight and just, well, raw, unfiltered slop, as they put it?
And maybe think about how these raw, sometimes chaotic online spaces, even with all their challenging content, do they reflect something deeper? About online communities, about the search for connection or critique, or maybe just meaning in this digital world.
Something to chew on, definitely.